Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll
this
hear...
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I will continue with the series on the Beatitudes found in the fifth chapter of Matthew. Verse 9 states, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." The peacemakers are those who promise God's messianic peace, who promote God's messianic peace. In Hebrew, shalom, which is total well-being, both personally and communally, will receive that ultimate reward of being called sons of God. God is the God of peace. His whole plan of redemption is to provide peace with God for those who were formerly alienated from God, and ultimately bring peace to the whole world. This is the goal of the work of the Messiah. But in the human race, however, there is strife and conflict with little hope for peace and unity. The peace that God brings is not a cessation of hostilities, tolerance, or the readiness to give way. True peace that the world needs calls for a complete change of nature. And only God can give this kind of peace. It is a peace that the world does not understand. It begins with reconciliation with God and extends to reconciliation with other people. Those who are peacemakers are then first and foremost people who understand what true peace is. Their effort is to strive to establish a peace that embraces God's provision of peace, so that people will be in harmony with one another because they are at peace with God. In other words, the true peacemakers are they who promote the kingdom of God. Their lives are given to working for the promoting of the kingdom of God, reconciling adversaries, quenching hatred, uniting those who are divided, promoting true understanding and spiritual love. And they do this because they know what true peace is. So the quality described here is one that is spiritual and not simply a political seeking of peace. And the promise is that they shall be called the sons of God. That means they will be true children of God. This adds to what life will be like in the kingdom. Possession of land, stilling of hunger, vision of God, and now sonship. And all this began when people enter the kingdom by faith, but will be fulfilled completely when the kingdom finally comes. In the Old Testament, sons of God is a description of angels, and rarely in such language used for salvation. But in the New Testament, sonship is a powerful expression for salvation. It means that believers have been born into the family of God by the Holy Spirit, and that those so designated have a personal relationship with the Father through Christ the Son, that they are joint heirs with Him, that they have a place in their heavenly home by birthright, not yet in the full sense, but truly in the certainty of the promise, can believers say, "We are called the children of God." So the disciples of Jesus should be promoting peace. They do this by spreading the gospel of peace to the world and by promoting reconciliation within the household of faith as well. In short, they should be doing the work of the Messiah. Verse 10 states, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Those who are persecuted are those who have been wrongly treated because of their faith. God is pleased when his people show that they value him above everything in the world. And this happens when they courageously remain faithful amid opposition for righteousness' sake. In this fallen world, when people try to promote peace or champion righteousness or live a life of gentleness and meekness, they find opposition. One would think that such a life would attract people to the kingdom of God, but the fact that it does not naturally do that tells us clearly that the race is not only alienated from God, but in rebellion to God. They might want a form of justice, but in their own terms. They much prefer power and privilege and possessions. And so John the Baptist called for righteousness and went to an early grave. And Jesus proclaimed all the right virtues, but found opposition to his message because it called for them to enter his kingdom. And if they persecuted these, will they not also oppose the disciples? The Beatitude is not simply for all who have suffered persecution. God, as the righteous judge of the earth, will deal with that as well. But this Beatitude is for followers of Christ, those who suffer persecution for the sake of righteousness. And as the next verse clarifies to the disciples, that means suffering for Christ's sake. They have been identified by faith with the King. They carry his name, and they proclaim the good news that there is a kingdom of righteousness and peace that is spiritual and eternal. But they will find opposition. Nevertheless, they should rejoice, for their reward in heaven will be great. God will make it up to them and more. But the blessing stated here for those who suffer such persecution in this world, that their destiny will be a complete contrast to their present humiliation. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that, the disciples know, is something worth dying for. But it is not a future reality only. They have it now. The lesson would simply be that people should be living for Christ in this world, living the way members of the kingdom should live, championing righteousness and justice, showing mercy, remaining meek and poor in spirit, all the things that the Beatitudes praise. But they should know that genuine righteousness is offensive to many, and so they will be prepared for opposition. Verses 11 and 12 state, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Jesus teaches, "Blessed are you when others revile or scold you and persecute you on my account." Just as Jesus experienced opposition and persecution, his disciples can expect the same. Their reward may not come on earth, but it surely will be theirs in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets throughout history, beginning with Cain's murder of Abel. There have been those who oppose God's people. These last couple of verses have an implicit claim to deity by Jesus. In the Old Testament, the prophets were persecuted because of their faithfulness to God. Now Jesus says that his disciples will be persecuted because of their faithfulness to him. He is God. Jesus was crucified on a cross for our sins. He was buried and arose from the dead 3 days later with all powers in his hands. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Therefore, as believers, we must live for Christ. Some listeners may not have given their lives for Christ, to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is Be Thankful. Our gratitude glorifies God as we exalt not the gifts, but the giver. No matter what you ask God for, you need to ask with an attitude of gratitude. You can ask God for whatever you need, but do it with a thankful heart for what he's already done. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." A lot of people want to know God's will for their lives. Here's step one. Be grateful. This is God's will. First, be grateful for what God has already given you. Your life, mind, freedom, food, clothes. Everything you have is a gift from God, so be grateful for all of it. The Bible says to give thanks in all circumstances. Notice, it does not say to give thanks for all circumstances. There is a big difference. There are a lot of things in life you should not be thankful for. For example, evil. It says to give thanks in every circumstance, not for, because God can bring good even out of bad things. There's a lot of bad in the world today, and these days you can see more of it than you think you could bear. You shouldn't be grateful for those things, but remember God is bigger than sin. He can bring promises out of pain, blessings out of suffering, joy out of sorrow, peace out of adversity, beauty out of the ashes of lost dreams, and he turns crucifixions into resurrections. God transforms the bad things in your life into good things and uses them for good. You can be grateful in everything for several reasons. First, God has a plan for your life. He can use everything in your life for good. The pain is not going to last forever. And if you know Jesus as Savior, you're going to heaven. And he's going to use even the hard things in life to build your character. Do you know what will help you to be thankful in all things? When bad things happen, don't ask, "Why is this happening to me?" Instead, ask, "God, what do you want me to learn from this?" When you learn from God, then you grow more like Christ. Then you'll be able to better see how he is working in your life and give him thanks in all circumstances. Remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But be encouraged, because the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, who died, was buried, and arose, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news, repent, and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to continue to pray, trust and obey his word by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and take purposeful action for his glory. Life is full of uncertainties, but you'll find that God's grace is sufficient, and trust in him is never misplaced. Stay encouraged, my friends. Be thankful and keep looking up. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Give us a vision to see like you do, to help reach the city and make mountains move. Come, bring heaven down. Oh.
hope and an urge so that we hear the sound of